Good afternoon, everybody. This is Debbie Q with The Right Shoe, and I'm having weird sound issues today. Still doesn't sound right to me. I don't know, kids. I guess all these buttons really do mean something. And I'm just trying to figure it out now. So if my sound gets all, I don't know, see? Listen, hello? 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 I don't know if that sounds different to you. But we shall soldier on. I've had a fantastic summer, as since I haven't been on for a long time. Sorry, folks, but sometimes the fun gets to you. Not only that, but my sobriety. I'm in my 8th month. My 8th month, babies. Oh, my God. You don't know how good I feel. I finally, like, anybody struggling. I was a hardcore addict since 1986. That's a fucking long time. I did in the beginning, maybe I'll say after like 10 years, or I in college and when I was pregnant, there's three times, I was pregnant twice, that I did not indulge. I mean, I just quit cold turkey. Now, but I was still young. So, I don't know. I was okay both those times. But after doing what I did, the last like 10 years were bad. And then the last year was just a nightmare. I will say the anxiety when you quit, it's so bad. I didn't think I was ever going to make it. I was like, I cannot fucking do this. I couldn't even talk. I mean, you can hear in my first episode when I became sober, I can hear it. I am terrified. I'm terrified to speak. You know, it's so scary how, I mean, and they say when you stop doing stuff, you're the same age as when you started. So basically, I'm still 16. Woohoo! That's one good thing. I've been reborn at age 16. That makes me very happy. I got a kick-ass new haircut. Thank you, American Mortals. I really do like that place. And Logan cut my hair, and it was very good. Very artistic. Everything's always on my Instagram, The Right Shoe Podcast, __. I do like Instagram. I like the almost anonymous thing of Instagram. I don't know. There's something about Instagram I like. So let's move on. I do tend to blab. And I do like how when I listen to my shows, I do like how it goes when I get into the story quicker. Because that's what I like when I listen to things. That being said, of course, always listen to Murder at Bedtime at Linden, Twisted Listers. Those are people that I listen to time and time again. Like, I'm not like the independent podcast, the bigger podcast. I'll listen to anything. If it's good, I listen. But those are the independent ones I always listen to. I want to move on now. Somebody had brought this. I had never heard of this case. It brings me back to Tina Severance, which was my second episode, because that was, you know, my sister's best friend was twins with this girl, Tina. Her sister. And she was, I mean, I was young, you know, I was 16, and going back that far, it's hard. So I just remember waking up, my mom saying, "Where's Tina? Did you see Tina?" And I'm like, "Why would I see Tina? She's got to be partying." That was my first thought. Here, somebody killed her. I mean, it's fucking unbelievable to me to this day. And it really threw off our little neighborhood, because nothing like that had ever happened. Well, this story is the same kind of story. It's Janelle Matthews. She was abducted. Well, they didn't know it for a long time, and I'll get to that in the story. It was like they said the person that got a hold of me said that her friend, who was older, because this happened in 1984, was just like, it just blew the whole neighborhood away. It was, you know, it frighten people. People didn't know what happened. They knew that she had been abducted. Like, even though the police were like, oh, she's a possible runaway, which I don't know why they do that either. I am pro cop. I really am. I feel bad for them. I think they get really shit on right now. And yet there are certain things that happen that I'm like, what? Like, what the hell? Why? What are you talking about? Like, you know, I tend to have sympathy for police officers in this day and age because they really get, because I know a lot of them, and they get the shit knocked out of them, especially right now. So I am on the side of sympathy. But one thing that I do not get is if a family says, my son or daughter, and they're adamant, because families genuinely usually tell you, like, I don't know, I guess, all right, I don't want to get away. They usually will say, like, my son or daughter would never do that. Why don't they just treat it as a missing person first, runaway later? That I will never understand. And it, because it's a child. Like, I can see one thing I can see is when a domestic call comes in and it's a man and a woman fighting, I know why they don't go out. Because 9 times out of 10, the woman's going to, or if it's the man getting beat up, vice versa, whoever is the one getting beat up, the other significant other, like man, woman, whatever the situation is, if a couple is getting into a fight and they call the police, when the police come, a lot of the times what happens is they get mad at the police. So I can see why they shy away from that domestic shit. I don't understand the runaway stuff, the missing children. Like, just view them as missing until otherwise. And like, who cares? If they find out they're a runaway, okay, well then, no harm, no foul. I don't know if it's because there's not enough manpower and they just want to make sure. I don't know. I just don't know why, if the family says they would not do this, why they don't immediately view it as, okay, this is an emergency. They view Janelle as a runaway for a very long time, which makes no sense garnering this next story. Janelle Matthews was a 12-year-old girl who disappeared from Greeley, Colorado on December 20th, 1984. Her story, her backstory, she was born February 9th, 1972 in Santa Barbara, California. She was adopted. Her birth mother was only 13 years old. Her name was Terry Vieira, I think it was. Terry Vieira. I know it was Terry Vieira Martinez. She was only 13 years old when she gave birth to Janelle. I'm not sure if she named her that. I just know that soon after, Jim and Gloria Matthews adopted her at, you know, I'm sure at an infant age. And they had another daughter, Jennifer, who was a little bit older. They brought her back to Colorado and they gave her a really nice life. I mean, they brought her up to be, you know, her own person. They said Janelle was feisty and sassy. That was the word they used. And she was like a really good girl, and she was fun to be around. And she was in she went to Franklin Middle School and she was in the choir. And this was during the 1984 holiday season. Nobody loves Christmas more than me. And it does bring images of, like, especially Colorado, although I think of JonBenet too when I think of that. But you think of, like, oh God, what is with Christmas? But you think of, like, this town with all the Christmas. I have to say, where I work, it's far from my house. I work far. That is the cutest little town at Christmas. They really, like, the mall becomes, like, all Christmassy, and everyone's really into it. So it's really, like, it brings back these images of family and safe, and nothing should ever happen, period. But at Christmas time, it seems more morbid. Janelle was sick that week, and it really, like, bummed her out because her family, like, they didn't want her to go to school, but she was like my daughter who loves school. So she begged them, please, I want to go to school. I want to go to the Christmas choir. And they were like, okay. So they let her go, but they said she wanted to go to this holiday concert. her family was like, okay. Now, and the holiday concert was on the night she disappeared. She goes to the concert. Now, she was in the choir, but neither of her parents could go to the concert. Her dad, Jim, already promised Jennifer that she'd go to the basketball concert. And I can imagine if Janelle was sick, they probably weren't even sure that she would go. So they, you know, her dad had to go to the concert. And the mom, Gloria, her mother, Gloria's mother, was sick. So Gloria wasn't even in town that night. So neither of the parents were there. But they said she gave a stellar performance, everyone that was there. And she had even secured a ride home with her friend Deanna Ross, which I was the kept thinking Diana Ross, but Deanna, that's how they pronounced it. And Russell said she was great, fabulous, great concert. And at 8:15, they drove Janelle home. They watched Janelle walk away into the house, and Janelle flashed the light, signaling that she was okay. In fact, the phone had even rang, and it was Jim was a principal in Platte Valley, and it was a teacher calling out for, I guess, the next day, and he left a message with Janelle, and he said he talked to Janelle at 8:30. This would be the last person to physically talk to Janelle. Jim came home quickly after, and he saw a disturbing sight in the living room. There was the space heater. I can picture Janelle sitting at the space heater, you know, all warm. It's Christmas time. She just went to a concert. What could be more comforting? In the living room, it's the space heater on. Janelle's shawl is like draped over the couch as if she got up and just put the shawl on the side of the couch. And her shoes were there. So he's like, you know, where the heck could she go without her shoes? I mean, and he was getting nervous right off the bat. Jennifer comes home a half hour later at 10 o'clock, and she is like, there's something wrong. I mean, they knew something was wrong immediately. No shoes on. You know, her shoes are there. The shawl is there. The heater's on. Janelle's nowhere. Jennifer hadn't seen her. That's an eerie, scary sight. I mean, you know something's wrong. I would know something's wrong. Your daughter is not there in the house. There's a heater's on and her shoes. I give credit to all these parents because you have no choice. But Jesus, how the hell do you? I just don't get it. Like, it's so cruel. I mean, that is just the worst. Like, how? Oh my God. It just ripped my heart out and stomp on it. How do you deal with that uncertainty? Ugh. It really breaks my heart to read stuff like this. It really, really does. But the case is fascinating for several reasons. So they call the police right away. The police come to their address, 320 43rd Avenue Court, in 15 minutes. There's no struggle. This is why they said runaway. There was no sign of forced entry, no sign of a struggle, but her shoes are there. It's snowing out. I mean, even the dad was like, what is she going to do, walk in her bare feet? Like, there's no way. Which makes me think logistically of what happened, and it makes me sick to my stomach. Like, what was she doing? How was she carted out of there? The police find something disturbing, and this creeps me out so bad. There's footprints in the snow outside of all of the windows in the living room. So some creep was walking around staring at Janelle. That scares me so bad. I must have been raised with horror movies, which I was, because I don't like houses on the ground floor like that. Put the bedroom a little up. I can't sleep. I mean, even in college, I couldn't sleep because of the ground floor. It just freaked me out. But here, so Janelle, the house was on the ground floor. I mean, so the living room was, I mean, I'm not sure about the bedrooms, but the living room was on the ground floor. And somebody was casing her out, which is really freaky. And the footprints were right there. You know, they got a list of what she was wearing. And this is what the initial report read. On the evening of December 20th, 1984, 12-year-old Janelle Matthews was dropped off at her parents' home by her friend's family at approximately 8:30. When her parents returned home later that night, they discovered that Janelle was missing. She was last seen wearing a red blouse, dark gray sweater vest, charcoal gray skirt, light blue ski jacket, and house slippers. You know, and they said, like, she's not a runaway. There was too, you know, Jim said there was too many neat things happening to her. She had a girlfriend coming to sleep over the day after she disappeared. She was going to be in the Christmas presentation at church, and she was a little ham. Plus, Christmas was coming. No kid, especially 10 years old, who has a great family, is going to run away at Christmas. Christmas was my absolute magic time. I freaking loved Christmas. I mean, even I was like a genuinely, I don't know, I was a sassy kid, I guess you would call it. And I was always threatening to run away. Like, I don't know. I was quite the kid, but I never would run away, and especially at Christmas. I mean, it just wasn't happening, and I never did run away. I faked running away. I hid in the closet one time, but I didn't run away. It just pisses me off. I mean, so there's footprints in the snow, and they're larger. They're too large to be Janelle. It was footprints in the snow outside the window of the living room, too large to be Janelle's. There's no way she left. It was some creep. So Terry Vieira Martinez, they put her under surveillance without her knowledge. That was her birth mother. They figured sometimes birth mothers do come back. They've seen crazier things. So they went and they studied her for weeks, but nothing was to come of that. In fact, when they finally told her what was going on, she said, I knew nothing of this. I didn't know Janelle was missing, and she really hadn't. It seemed from what I read that the birth mother was probably, you know, happy that her daughter, and she was only 13 years old when she gave birth. That's insane. And who knows what happened there? I hope to God it was consensual. I mean, that's very young. The church was having vigils, 24-hour prayer vigils for her. Ronald Reagan spoke about Janelle in one of his speeches about missing children. I mean, he said Janelle's Matthew's name out loud. Like, it was literally, he said Janelle's name. I wonder if I can find that. Let me see. I was young then, but I liked Reagan. I didn't have any problems with him.
Well, over a million American children disappear from their homes or neighborhoods every year, causing, as we can all understand, heartbreaking anguish. For example, I learned about Jonelle Matthews of Greeley, Colorado, who would have celebrated a happy 13th birthday with her family just last month. But 5 days before Christmas, Jonelle disappeared from her home.
I mean, it's horrible. It's heartbreaking. So you have that, and then there was nothing to go on. So it became a cold case fairly quickly. And actually the family, Vieira Martinez and Janelle's parents, the Matthews, became friends ultimately. And because they couldn't handle what happened, they moved to the Philippines and they retired to Costa Rica. Janelle's sister married and moved out of Colorado. She moved to Washington State. Not D.C. You know, so as I said, Ronald Reagan mentioned it. She was in a lot of published stories. 2018, Greeley police had been recontacting witnesses with latest forensic advances in their investigation. This was also very strange that I read, and I was kind of sad. A choke cherry tree was planted in front of Franklin Middle School in memory of Janelle. The tree died a few years later, and a plaque inscribed with Janelle's name disappeared. So I don't know what happened to that. Lo and behold, almost 35 years passed. It was July 23rd, 2019, about 15 miles southeast of Janelle's old home in Greeley. Using DNA evidence, they found Janelle's remains. Unbelievably, when they got to the skull, I mean, they could clearly see a bullet hole. So she was killed by a gunshot wound to the head. And God knows what else she had to endure. And I just keep thinking of how that person got her out of the house. Like, it's freaking me out. The police department comes out and says they have a suspect, Stephen Dana Pankey. a Greeley resident who ran for governor in 2014 and 2018, and he ran for lieutenant governor in 2010. At first, they just named him as a person of interest. But you know what person of interest means. Come on, we're true crime people. We know that that means you did it 9 times out of 10. Man, I bet my allergies have been acting up so bad. It's like been really hot, but now like it rained and oh my God. On Wednesday, September 4th, 2019, Twin Falls, Idaho police search Panky's condo. They had probable cause to believe that Panky abducted and murdered Janelle. Panky and his former wife lived about 3 miles from the Matthew home, and he had been a youth pastor at the church the Matthews family attended back then. Greeley Police Commander Roy Smith stated that Panky had made repeated efforts to speak with detectives about the Matthews case, but refused to answer questions when detectives traveled to interview him on August 15, 2019. On October 13, 2020, Panky was indicted on charges of first-degree murder and kidnapping. He was held without bail in Ada County Jail in Idaho until being extradited to Colorado. He was 69 at the time of his indictment. Panky knew he was a person of interest when he was interviewed by the Ohio Statesman. He told the newspaper that he did not know Janelle or the Matthews family, and he had only heard of them following the disappearance. He said his wife was home the night of Janelle's disappearance, him and his wife. He said they were planning to leave town the next day for a Christmas visit to Big Bear Lake to visit family members. Decades later, Panky came forth with all these documents that the police said were filled with false statements and bolstered details. Like, they were just bull crap. You know, like details that, you know, when someone lies and instead of saying, oh, I wasn't there, they'll be like, I wasn't there. I dropped something and I picked it up. And then when I went to get it, I tripped. And like they add all these unnecessary details. Panky's ex-wife, Angela, said they started their trip on December 22nd, 2 days after Janelle's disappearance, and that the trip was completely unexpected. Hicks said they returned to Greeley on December 26th and that Panky took such an unusual interest in the disappearance of Janelle that he forced her to read newspapers about it. He was constantly talking about it, always listening to the radio. And according to the 2020 indictment statement, he also started digging in their yard back then, and a car stored in their property caught fire and was disposed of in a salvage yard. This next thing is not only weird, but it's, I don't know. I mean, this was said by his ex-wife, Angela Hicks. So yes, it's technically hearsay. His own son was killed in 2008. Panky's. He reportedly said, I hope God didn't allow this to happen because of what happened to Janelle Matthews. Which, if that's true, I mean, come on, why would you say that? Jennifer Morganson, Janelle's older sister, said her family experienced some closure when they learned that Janelle was murdered, and she considers Panky's arrest another gift to our family. Morganson's father was reportedly excited to see justice, but he's still alive, Jim. Morganson said that while there had been sibling rivalry between her and Janelle in 1984, I mean, killing eliminated, you know, it eliminated not just that, it eliminated everything. It eliminated her growth. I mean, it totally pisses me off. Just like Tina, she never got to live. She died at 13. It sucks. It's so unfair. I don't understand these freaking people. It makes me absolutely crazy. It is so unfair to the family and to the child. It is not, I don't even know words because it infuriates me so badly. It's just not, it should not happen. Anybody that harms a child should just be cast away. You put him on an island somewhere. The police announced that Panky had been a person of interest since the beginning. He repeatedly claimed to have knowledge of the crime and kept asking for immunity in exchange for information. The criminal indictment said that he intentionally inserted himself in the investigation over and over again, claiming to have knowledge of the crime, which over time just became more incriminating. Pankey had claimed that on the evening of Janelle's abduction, a rake was used to cover up tracks left in the snow. What the heck does that mean? He also claimed to have watched students walk home from middle school, which Janelle attended, which is freaky. Pankey gave an interview to the Times News and said he was being framed by the police because of his sexuality. He did this interview. I'll play a little bit of it, but he sounds like a real wacko. But he kept saying he's a celibate homosexual. And people that watch this next video, it's just a little clip. I won't play a long part. He did this interview where he went on and on about his innocence, but people watching it said that they think he kept talking about his homosexuality specifically so people would be like, oh, well, he couldn't have went after Janelle. I mean, she's a female. It's so ridiculous. Some people don't believe in his guilt. I totally do. I really do. But, I mean, to me, circumstantial evidence is sometimes the best evidence, but some people don't, and I'll get to that. They said that he just was trying to make himself look innocent by saying this. He's a real freak, trust me.
I got a copy of the newspaper, and the Janelle Matthews thing was all over it. It was the only murder in the area that was at the time, or disappearance at the time that was talked about. So my attorney got back. I called him and I said, I don't know if this has anything to do with the Janelle Matthews case or not, but I may have some information and I don't know what to do. And he said that he would be concerned about obstruction of justice, and he didn't go into any detail after that. And I owed him a lot of money, and his voice was, like, not real friendly about this. So I thanked him. I got off the phone. I then called the Fort Collins, because I had a bad relationship with the Greeley Police Department. I called the Fort Collins FBI. The FBI...
I see this too with this guy. I mean, I didn't play too much of it, but it's very boring, trust me. He just rambles on and on and on. But one thing he does, and I know I study people lying, and myself when I was younger, when I would lie or say, no, I wasn't there, you know. I noticed that when people are not telling the truth, you'll do this. You'll be like, you'll tell every little instance of what you're talking about. Like, he just said, here, let me see. He just said it.
Called the Fort Collins FBI.
Oh, yeah. I called the Fort Collins FBI because I had such a bad relationship with the police department. Who gives a fuck? Just tell us what you're talking about. You know, like every little thing. I did this because of this. Like, he constantly is interjecting why he did this. And, I mean, it could be because some people that are court savvy know that you got to explain every freaking detail, but sometimes it's like, I think it's very strange. Okay, this is the part I was getting to. Now, he, you know, was indicted and all that by a grand jury. I mean, a grand jury is a jury of your peers, pretty much saying, like, you, there's enough evidence to take you to court. A mistrial was declared on count. I did not know this. I just read this. I was so taken with the case, I did not read the latest. And as of November 4th, 2021, and we know justice moves like a snail, so it's only August 2022. I don't think there's anything after this. But the jury deciding the fate of Stephen Pankey, who is charged in connection with the 1984 death of 12-year-old, well, I think she was she 12? Yeah, 12-year-old Janelle Matthews, couldn't reach a consensus. They did convict him on a charge of false reporting, but it was a mistrial declared for counts 1, 2, and 3 murder. They said just because he was obsessively interested, didn't make him a killer. See, the problem with this, there's no physical evidence in this case. None. It's all circumstantial. And I agree. I mean, there was a guy named Dr. Grande. He's on YouTube. He goes over cases and, you know, I was watching him and he was like, I'm not even sure that Stephen Pankey's guilty. And at first I was like so furious because you do become emotionally invested. You do want someone to pay to what happened to Janelle. And even this guy, he's a wacko. I guess that doesn't make him guilty. I really think, I don't know. I mean, he really seems like he's guilty. And I asked people close to the case and they really feel the same way. Like they think he's guilty. People that knew Janelle and her family. I mean, they think he's guilty. I don't know if it's because you just want somebody to pay or, you know, there's enough. I don't know. I feel like he just, I don't know. He's such a creep, man. Who else would have done it? But it could have been some wacko. Man, that sucks. I mean, at least the family does, not that this is good, but like the sister said, they know that she was murdered. It's not like an open case like that. They did find her remains. Okay, May 3rd, 2022. Stephen Pankey appeared in court Tuesday with new defense counsel. The public defender who took over Stephen Pankey's defense last year in the 1984 death of Janelle Matthews has withdrawn from the case, citing irreconcilable conflict of interest. The issue of Pankey's representation was the focus of the court hearing. So they're going to retry him, I believe. This is the second time in 6 months that Pankey has been appointed new attorneys. I mean, he's getting old. Oh my God, he looks terrible. He's already spent a ton of time behind bars, which that sucks. I mean, if the guy's not guilty, I never understood that. Like, you're guilty until you're innocent until proven guilty, but yet they can throw you in jail for years while they're deciding. That really never made. I mean, unless they have like the gun you used or something, I can't see how they can do that, but they do it all the time. Wow. There's no DNA linking Pankey to the crime. Analysis tried, but were unable to recover any usable DNA from Janelle's remains or clothing, which were buried in a field for more than 3 decades. Prosecutors relied heavily during the trial on circumstantial evidence and Pankey's statements and odd behaviors. Okay, this is Janelle's parents.
Let's see. Of course, it was a real shock when we first heard it, and we've been numb for all of these days, but I think being here would be really good for us to go through all of it. But we're so grateful that God has just revealed this to us. So,
were you just at home and got a call from law enforcement? How did you learn this?
Well, the detective Robert Cash called us Wednesday night, and he shared what he could share. So, we both were just really surprised and shocked.
Totally caught off guard. Yeah, it was just a.
God, her mom looks like the same.
We have been consigned to the fact that we probably never would know what happened to her, and this is just an absolute miracle about how she was found.
This must be a phone call you've waited for so long and thought through and dreamed of having. This phone call to get some answers in some way, right?
Well. Like I say, we, you know, after this amount of years, we just have been consigned to the fact that we probably never will find out what happened to her. And to have it all of a sudden, 34 and a half years later, find these remains in the middle of nowhere.
God, that makes me so sad.
If they dug up, you know, 15, 20 feet to one side or the other, they never would have found her. So we really believe that God has provided a miracle for this to happen.
So you're here. What will you be doing while you're home?
Well, we have...
I mean, it's just so sad that they had to go that long with not knowing. And now, I don't know. I mean, you know, is Pankey guilty? I don't know. He seems like a real wacko, but, I mean, there's a lot of wackos in this world. I mean, it's just, I don't know. If you read through, like, if you want to do extensive reading, there's a lot of stuff on the internet about it. I never heard of this case. It was brought to my attention a few days ago. I was actually going to do, which I'm going to do next. It's I'll talk about it in a second. But when I read about it, then I started reading, I started going through like interviews, and I become voracious when I hear something. I just can't get enough, because this case, it just stuck to me. And it reminded me of Tina. That's why I became, I think, even more like, my interest was definitely piqued. I'm going to do, it's a case about William Douglas. I'm not going to cut off poor Janelle that quickly. My world's collided. I just wanted to talk. I was going to do this case next because I got this old book. Okay, let me see. All right, let me just tie up Janelle's case. Whether Stephen Pankey is guilty or not, I'm not sure, but she was murdered that, you know, close to Christmas night in 1984. December 20th. She was only 12 years old, taken from her home. I don't know how the person got to her. She was obviously sitting, relaxed, happy. Back then, I did have fear of strangers, and my mom always, even back then, I know people say, oh, back then it was different. It was, but I remember my mom saying, you know, people, they'll take you and they'll kill you. Like, it was still frightening back then. It wasn't like we were oblivious. It just wasn't as well reported and stuff. So if the door knocked when I was younger, first of all, I lived on a street where all our houses were connected and my neighbors knew everything. So if I saw somebody outside that, you know, I would definitely look. And if I saw somebody I didn't know, I'd never answer the door. I don't know how the person got Janelle out of the house, but that sucks. And if she knew the person, if it was part of her church, I mean, maybe he was, oh, I'm in the church. You know how these predators are. They're crafty. And if you're even the slightest bit, you know, 12 years old, you're somewhat naive. I mean, of course you're going to, it's just so, it's almost easy sometimes for these idiots and these nasty, nasty people to get to a child. So that part makes me really sick to my stomach about how she was lured away. God bless her. God bless her family. That was the Janelle Matthews case. I will get any updates. I'll keep looking because it seems like they're going to try this guy again. I got this book. Okay. I went down the shore. My favorite place in the world, you know, Wildwood and Bethany Beach are my two favorite places, but Wildwood's my heart. That's where my aunt, I grew up in Wildwood since I was zero. I mean, when I was born, I was going to Wildwood. My aunt lived on Spruce Street as you're coming into North Wildwood proper, and I fucking loved it. I grew up on roller coasters and good times. There wasn't a bar in Wildwood that I wasn't sitting on the stool with my papa, because he was a partier. But there's a bookstore called Hooked on Books. It's on, I believe it's on Pacific, it's on Pacific Avenue, and it's a great bookstore. If you're ever in Wildwood, New Jersey, go to Hooked on Books. Some bookstores have mailing addresses. I'm not sure if they do that kind of thing. Hooked on Books. Oh, they do. Okay. So if, you know, go to, oh no, that's not, that's not them. Sorry. Sorry, Charlie. Hooked on Books, baby. Hooked on Books, baby. 3405 Pacific Avenue, Wildwood, New Jersey. Award-winning, 32 years. So they opened in 1990 was 30 years ago? I am insanely old, people. The best sellers. All right, this is my after chat. If you're not interested in anything after Janelle Matthews, that was her case. The number one, I'll go through the number 10 bestsellers of 2021 for Hooked on Books. Where the Crawdads Sing, which is coming out soon. It was Reese Witherspoon's pick of the year. Dune, The Song of Achilles, They Both Die at the End. We Were Liars. Oh, that's a great book. Shadow and Bone, Little Fires Everywhere, Firefly Lane, The Institute by Stephen King, and 1984 by George Orwell. Wow, they both die at the end. Sounds good. Oh, they had the best 100. Wee-hee-hee. The Shining's number 66. Oh, my God. Oh, my Lordy, this is quite the tenses. Oh, The Woman in Cabin 10. I love that book by Ruth Ware. She's uneven. People love her or hate her. I think she's great. I love The Woman in Cabin 10. There was a part, it was in a ship, and this part where this woman was in the bathtub scared the piss out of me. I don't know why. I don't remember the scene, but I remember it scared me. Oh, God, it's so great. Go on hookedonbooks.info for all, you know, you can look at it. It's really cool. It has, like, the gallery, and you can see all the pictures and stuff. I mean, it's really a great place. I mean, you can sit there, you can read. Like, the guy is so chill. And across the street, there's a Zumba class. That's cool. So, I get this book, right? And it's old. It's from, like, 1986, and it's all true crime stories. And I found some really good ones. There was one, it's about, there was a book called Dead Ringers in the 80s. It was about twin gynecologists. Very strange movie. It was really good. That was in there. And people have said, like, that's one of the few non-fiction writings of that particular story. And it fascinates people. So that was in there. It's really, really good. It's a great, I like the book. Some people, I don't know, she was a little strange in her. It was some of the stuff, you know, it was very dated, like how she replied that, like the strippers and hookers, she was like, oh my God, like who would want to be that? Like very downing of that group, but that was of the times. I don't think it was necessarily this author. So excellent, though. The first story was what I was going to do. It was about this William Douglas. He had met, I'm definitely doing this story next. It's fascinating. And I've, you know, I researched heavily after I find a book. He meets this girl. Her name is Robin Benedict. And Robin was gorgeous. He kills her. And the story is just utterly fascinating. So I will be doing that next. I'm going to be doing a couple stories out of this book. Let me see if I can remember. I was going to call it The Dork and the Dancer. But its name, The Professor and the Prostitute, is the name of the book. The Professor and the Prostitute and Other True Tales of Murder and Madness. Linda Wolf. Now, I agree there's certain, it's dated. The book is dated, but I think it's riveting. I like it. I'm on the last two stories. I've been reading very slow because I've been so crazy busy. But folks, that was my interpretation of Janelle Matthews. I really am glad to the person who gave me that story or told me about Janelle Matthews because it sucks. Like I never heard of it before, and I'm just surprised. Summer's going good. I'm coming back, and I'll try to get out quicker. When the summer's over, I'll definitely be at my bi-weekly level. Until then, folks, have a great night. It's Debbie Q at The Right Shoe, signing off. And I will do a fucking Philadelphia. I promise I'll get to that at some point. And I'll sing my little tune.